20-somethings who are either married or in committed relationships who say their unions are more secure and more honest because they don't believe in monogamy.
I just took off my clothes and I had to do it.
Talking about swinging, or as it's known now, living in the lifestyle.
We're going to have to give you some quinine.
Technically, an orgy requires a minimum of 6 participants.
What about my three-way?
This is a new generation of swingers.
Waves of it coming at you on Friday, Saturday. By Sunday, your nuts going to be drained.
Oh,
hi, everyone. Welcome to Swinging Around, the sex positive podcast about swinging and sex. I'm Cal.
I'm JB.
So today we have another special episode. We are interviewing a couple of listeners who contacted us through email and let us know that, you know, they would like to be interviewed, and we're very excited to bring them on.
Yep. So one of the aspects of swinging that Cal and I might not cover so much is swinging once you've been monogamous for a while. So Cal and I have been together for about 8 years. It's my understanding that Sheila and John have been together for quite a bit longer than that. And so they have a different perspective and a different story. And so we thought it would be a good idea to hear some other sides of swinging. So Sheila and John graciously agreed to do an interview with us.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah, welcome. Welcome.
So why don't we start off with how long have you guys been together as a couple? How'd you meet? Kind of give us your basic background story.
We've been together 22 years.
Yep.
22 wonderful years.
You don't have to say that just because I'm sitting right next to you.
I'm just being honest.
As long as they're 22 sex-filled years.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much. So, yeah, we, I guess we started talking about swinging about 6 years ago. And it was kind of one of those things that started with, you know what my fantasy is? Yeah, well, you know what mine is. And it's probably the same for a lot of people. But for us, we had to go through, you know, talking about, well, we've been monogamous for 15 years. Is this, you know, is this the path we really want to take? Is this something we really want to do? So there was about a year's worth of talking about it before we actually jumped in.
Who brought it up first?
Believe it or not, me.
You know, I
surprise,
definitely believe
surprise.
It. I feel like it's generally the man, but you know, us women, we like our sex too.
Well, there's definitely a twist to that later on.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yes.
So do you think you had a hard time just getting over the societal stigma? I mean, you mentioned you'd been together for 15 years. Was it hard for you just to get over the fact of, well, we're in a marriage, we're not supposed to be with other people?
I think there's a little bit of that. I mean, we're both in our 40s, and we were both raised with a certain religion that we will no longer mention because we're trying to get away from.
We're recovering from that.
Recovering from that, but
recovering.
But yeah, our parents are very traditional, so yeah. So it was hard to say, you know, that it's okay to share each other because, you know, society in general says that that's naughty. So
naughty's always a good thing.
That's what we think.
So how did you end up dipping your toes into the lifestyle pool?
Yeah, John, how did you broach the subject or bring it up? Or had it been a fantasy of you guys' for a while and you just started talking about it seriously? Or how did that transpire?
Well, we'd actually probably been 7 or 8 years previously. We'd taken a trip down south to see my folks. And Sheila and I decided to get away from family for a couple of days. Went into the city and went to a couple of clubs, and a couple there started hitting on us.
Now, by club, you mean like a regular dance club?
A regular dance club, actually a piano bar.
Okay.
Okay.
And, we were having a great time with them. We had never even thought about the lifestyle at that point. And I finally pulled Sheila aside after about an hour of flirting and... And I said, I looked at Sheila and I said, are these two hitting on us?
Yep.
And she said, I think they are. And it scared us to death. Needless to say, we left the club.
Did you enjoy seeing another man hit on your wife?
At the time, I didn't know how to deal with it.
Because
we hadn't even thought of on there yet. So, yeah. You know, fast forward and I guess we'd gotten quite a bit more mature in our relationship. And like Sheila had mentioned earlier, we just started talking about fantasies. And I know Sheila looked at me and said, I know what your fantasy is. And I said, I don't think you do. And she said, you want to have two women. And I said, well, what guy doesn't? But that's not on my list. I said, I think it'd be kind of wild to see you with another man.
That's hot.
Yes, it is.
And I had no idea at the time, guys, what I was actually saying. We were just talking strictly fantasy at that point. So
Yeah.
So had the two of you prior to that throughout your relationship, had you been sexually adventurous through monogamy, like just amongst yourselves?
Toys, positions, locations, or were you fairly conservative?
So we were, when we were still dating, we were, you know, we'd go driving around the city and find a secluded spot and, you know, do the wild thing in the truck. So yeah.
Oh yeah, that is hot. I'm not sure if you guys had listened, but we just did that public sex show, and public sex is so hot.
Yep.
So what was your first swinging type event or swinging? I say event, but really, I mean, just first time doing anything in the lifestyle.
Well,
with a couple.
We got on to, I dug around and found AFF and set up kind of a really lowbrow profile there. And we ended up our very first date, and I'm doing the air quotes.
That's very loosely.
Was a couple that said, well, you know, we've got a 3-year-old, so let's just meet a Dairy Queen and we'll just talk. And we had no idea what we were doing, and we thought, well, that seems reasonable. And now,
so they brought their 3-year-old on your first date?
Yes, they did. And
wow.
Now that is sexy, sexy.
That's a little awkward.
The chemistry with the kid was better than the chemistry with them, let me tell you.
Now, what is AFF? I haven't heard of that site.
I think that's Adult Friend Finder. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
It's a fairly large site. I don't think it's as large here in Michigan, but as Swing Lifestyle is the primary one here. But is Adult Friend Finder the primary site that's used in your neck of the woods?
Around here, yeah. We're on Swing Lifestyle as well, but yeah, that's the Adult Friend Finder is really the go-to place around these parts.
Well, the second date we had really set us back. It was a fairly experienced couple that we realized later on. I guess the only way to really put it is preyed on new couples.
Yeah, we've heard of that before.
So that, we made that ordeal. and then met a really nice couple, our third couple. And it was a learning experience for us with this couple because they were dating. They didn't have a strong marriage. They didn't have a strong relationship. But we went there anyway, and that was actually, we went into the whole thing as soft swap couples to start with.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was going to ask you is the rules you had set up at the beginning and how you're the levels of comfort when you began.
Well, when we first started, that couple he's talking about, we actually did, they were the first couple that we played with, and John was really good up until then, and then, ironically enough, for him being the one to bring up the idea of swinging, he was the one that said, whoa, I need some reins here, and so we started setting up rules about, you know, the way we played, and things like how long we played.
Mm-hmm. Now, did he want rules to help keep himself at bay, or was it more to help keep himself from getting jealous of what you were doing?
He needed rules to keep from getting jealous.
Yeah, I had finally found my jealous bone, and I hated it. We actually full swapped with this couple; it just happened, and we'd spent some time with them, and I really started getting some emotions that I didn't know how to deal with them. And the worst emotion that I was getting was jealousy. So then I started backing away from it. And then the frustration set in with Sheila, the frustration set in with me. My biggest thing is I felt like I was disappointing Sheila because she was ready to go. And I had a lot of emotions and feelings to deal with. And so that's when, actually, that's when we just decided to maybe we should do soft swap until I can deal with this.
Yeah. And
I think
for me, it was hard to, you know, it's brand new and this is so much fun and exciting. And it was hard for me to, you know, be patient and let him get his feet underneath him. So we had some long discussions during that time.
Oh yeah. I'm sure like when I think a lot of couples have that where they're starting out and they don't know what rules they should have, or if they go too far, then they realize, just like John did, that, whoa, we got to back up a little bit. I know that happened to us mm-hmm. on our first night out. And then, you know, it almost takes that going too far to realize, whoa, gotta, you know, back the reins and then, you know, figure out where we stand. And
yeah, and I think the strong couples who can communicate with one another get over it and get back into the lifestyle eventually. And I'd be willing to bet there's a fair number of couples who just don't talk their way through it and they just stop and say, lifestyle's not for us, and they walk away and never go back.
Yep. I would agree with you 100%. Yeah. We've seen both sides of that. We've seen people get out and work things and come back in, and we've seen people just disappear.
So did you guys just basically say, okay, we need to sit down, we need to talk about this?
Oh, boy, did we talk.
Sometimes loudly at each other. So, yeah, we did, we backed off and decided, okay, we're going to put ourselves out there as soft swap, and that lasted.
That was about a year.
Yeah, that was about a year. And then along the way, we met this wonderful, experienced couple that were just really, really good mentors for us. They, you know, we could talk to them about everything that we were kind of going through and feeling and stuff, and they just let us talk it out. And eventually, after about a year, we were at a small party with them, and John just looked at me and said, you know what, fuck it, let's go. And that's the end of that.
So you went full swap at that point?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep, with a van.
And have you looked back since?
Nope.
Nope.
It's been fantastic. It's been wonderful. We've got a core group of friends here that we absolutely love and adore. And, I wouldn't know where to go without the lifestyle at this point.
Yeah.
So, John, I wanted to ask you, it sounds like from the full swap that sort of made you back up for a moment that you had some jealousy issues, and then you were soft swap for about a year. So what did you have to work through yourself, or was it just the time, the year spent soft swapping, that you're able to work through the jealousy and then it was okay to do the full swap, or
did something change to make you suddenly be okay with it?
Yeah, were you just very comfortable with the couple that you started when you got back into full swapping, or?
I've struggled with trying to find that answer, because I know that there's a lot of great couples out there that the guys in particular could probably benefit by. I mean, there's jealousy with men, but I think one of the big things for me was Sheila's understanding, Sheila's ability to slow down and say, I'll take it at your pace, and let me make the decision as to what I want to do and when I'm ready to do it.
So Sheila, did you find yourself getting frustrated? You kind of hinted at that earlier, but how did you deal with that and not feel like he was holding you back?
Well, at first it was frustrating just because it's, you know, it's this big, new, wonderful thing and it's, you know, fun and exciting. But I had to take a step back and say, look, this is, you know, this isn't just some guy. This is my life partner. And no matter what happens, if he gets there, if he doesn't get there, if we stay, if we go, this is going to be the person that I'm going to wake up with for the rest of my life. So that talking my way through that really helped me to be more understanding and empathetic of, you know, his feelings and what he was going through. And I knew he was frustrated with himself. And so me being frustrated with him certainly wasn't going to help that. And so I just kind of had to talk my way through that. And once I came to that conclusion, then it was easy. It was easy for him to set the limits, and it was easy for me to stay within them.
So it's safe to say that you and him had a strong sexual relationship to help get you through not having swinging. Like, swinging wasn't a crutch for you guys.
No, not at all. And in fact, that's, you know, even talking about swinging or, you know, going on dates without playing or anything was, you know, that was, we'd come home and fuck each other's brains out. So,
Yeah, it's amazing the amount of energy that you get just from talking about swinging or thinking about it, or even if you meet a couple, like you said, you met the couple with a 3-year-old and you didn't have any chemistry, I bet you still went home and fucked like crazy.
We needed therapy after that.
No, that afternoon we were a little confused.
Yeah, I can't imagine bringing your kid to a date.
Yeah, that just seems crazy to me. I was like, what are you thinking? Or, I don't know, like, how can you really flirt and be sexy and I don't know, that's just very...
Yeah, but I feel like it would be confusing for the kid if you were trying to flirt with the other man and the kid, you know, I mean, 3 is old enough to recognize, you know, people touching each other or, you know, you were having ice cream, so obviously not in a sexual way, but even just flirting.
Yeah, that seems crazy. Well,
the afternoon wasn't total. The kid was cute and the ice cream was good, so, you know, 2 out of 3 would, yeah.
God, I hope you don't listen to this.
So, one of the primary reasons why you, when you first contacted us through email, you mentioned that you really liked the show, but that the perspective was skewed younger, and it's our experiences being younger, and so that's one of the reasons why we really wanted to have you on, have a little different perspective. So, how was it? What were the societal familiar or family concerns, and just concerns that you had having been together and monogamous for 15 years and then deciding to get into it? Because that's a different experience than JB and I. We had been together for only it was a much shorter amount of time, and so
and there were no kids involved,
and we don't have kids, and so we didn't have to, a lot of those concerns weren't there, and so I know that those were some of the things that you thought that our show could use some representation.
I wrote that email was just because, yeah, you guys are, you know, you guys have not been together that long, and you've got young families. I mean, John's got 3 daughters that are long gone, and so it's...
I started young.
Yeah. So for us, it's easier in a sense to play because we can host. We can have anybody over any time, and a lot of our playmates have the same situation where they're, you know, their kids are gone, or... And we've met some of the adult children and stuff, but they're not, you know, a everyday part of their lives. So that's kind of one thing that's really different. But, you know, for you guys, we were listening to your podcast, your last one on the way home today, and you were talking about going to this, you know, party, and there's like other pregnant women there and stuff. And, you know, the party the last party we went to, one of the gals that is always there was very pregnant at the time, but I mean, she's kind of a fixture in the, you know, she's a fixture in that group. And so for us, it's really unusual and a little bit foreign to think about, you know, going to a club or to a party and having like a bunch of young pregnant people there. It just seems, you know, it's not a bad thing. It just seems so odd that, for us.
It seems foreign to us too.
Well, I will say, the young isn't foreign, but the pregnant is, and you probably heard us talking about you definitely heard us talking about the struggles or what we've had to deal with or the concerns we've had with being pregnant. But yeah, but the party we're talking about, we actually are going to be attending tomorrow, so we haven't gone yet, and so we'll see how it goes. It'll be the first time. JB's definitely, she is definitely pregnant. There's no doubt about that, and so it'll be. We'll see how that goes, but yeah, it'll be interesting, and it's not something that, and there will be some other pregnant individuals there, and so that's, I don't know, it is kind of, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I just hope it's not a mood killer.
Well, so there's a lot of guys that find pregnant women attractive. You may be very popular.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
I don't think
so. So getting back to Kel's question a little bit, in hindsight, do you wish you had started swinging sooner in your relationship?
Personally, for me, I don't think so. I think Sheila may have been, because she's always been, I met her when she was 21. I'm 5 years older than she is. Always very sexually open. And
you're more traditional.
I'm more traditional. Well, I was. There's nothing about our life right now that's traditional. But I think it was probably it happened at the right time.
Mm-hmm. I think our relationship had a chance to mature more. And, you know, I mean, we were being in our, you know, late 30s, early 40s as compared to, you know, 25. I mean, I think when you're 25, you're more adventurous. And when you're 40, you're, you know, a little more settled down, I guess. You know, not quite so much in the party scene necessarily, although since we started swinging, my God, we party constantly. But so it's kind of, I guess for us, when we look at a 25-year-old couple, you know, is swinging, we think, oh, they picked this up on spring break. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And for us, it was more, there was a lot more cerebral activity that went on. It wasn't just, you know, we got together at a party and everybody got drunk and fucked. And that's probably not the way it is, but that's kind of the way we perceive it from our end.
From a 40-something perspective, that's kind of what we see.
Oh, yeah. And we totally understand that sentiment because we've had that. We're not 25, but I mean, you know, 27, 28 isn't that much older. But yeah. We've had individuals at parties just say, you know, they're just so surprised that they're always saying, you know, how did you get into this? And just it's the same questions and concerns that you were just bringing up. And I think you'd be surprised at the amount of communication that even younger individuals have. Although, to be fair, I think JB and I have the same sort of problem if we were to see like a 18-year-old couple there, the way that you would see a 25-year-old couple and think, oh, they got together and they want to do this on spring break. We've seen younger couples than us and think, so it's just interesting at the different time points that, you know, you got into it at a certain time, we got into it at a certain time, and you have a hard time imagining how different time points, how people get into it at different time points. And it's fascinating.
Yeah, I think some couples eye us with a little bit of skepticism until they find out that we've been married for 6 years, together for 8, and then the comfort level increases.
Yeah, that's what we found, is that it's less to do with the amount of time how old you are. It's less to do with that, but the amount of time that you've been together. Would you echo that, or do you think that that's not the case in what you've seen?
I think it's the strength of the relationship, probably. But it, you know, when you see someone that's not your demographic, especially in this, when you, like you said, that's a really good point. You look at someone who's 18 and think, oh, whatever. And, you know, I think for us, it's, we're learning to, you know, get to know someone first and find out, you know, do they have a really strong relationship, or are they just, you know, here to get laid? And so we're learning to deal with kind of the younger crowd a little bit better than,
yeah. I think that's all relative too. When you truly find your soulmate, it's your soulmate, and it doesn't matter if you're 25, if you're 75, it doesn't matter if you've been together 5 years or 55 years. If it's really truly your soulmate, you can talk to him about anything. You can take that relationship to pretty much any level that you want to.
Mm-hmm. But it's been a learning process for us to learn that, guess what, 25-year-olds can have the same relationship we have, haven't had it for.
Yeah, yeah. And I think on the flip side, there can be 40-something-year-olds who have rocky, shaky relationships and don't make it through. I know we've played with a couple on a few occasions that suddenly withdrew from the lifestyle and said, you know what, we need to take a break, we're on shaky ground.
Yeah, I think you guys hit the nail on the head, you know, when it comes to the strength of the relationship. That's, if you have a solid foundation, a solid rock to start from, and you have the desire, both of you have the sexual adventurous to want to get into the lifestyle, then, and you have a solid foundation, then you should be pretty good to go. But yeah, we've met younger couples and older couples who just, you can tell they just didn't have the foundation there, and then they were gone off SLS, they're not there, they're it just wasn't for them. And so yeah, we've encountered that as well.
Yeah.
So John, oh, go ahead.
Well, I was we have a couple that we actually kind of mentored in ourselves. It took them a long time to, you know, decide to take their clothes off, and it was a very gradual process, and really enjoyed their company, but When she and I were first just chatting back and forth, I had asked her, you know, what made them want to get in the lifestyle. And she said, well, you know what, we're looking to get the spark back. And I just thought, oh, that's not the answer I wanted to hear. But they, you know, they seem good to go. Well, I just talked to him a few weeks ago, and they are, in fact, breaking up at this point. So,
It's
disappointing.
Yeah, it's a little troubling when you hear, yeah, we're trying to get the spark back, because you need to have the spark there. If it's,
Yeah.
It's already going to be there. So did you actually end up playing with the couple, at least to get something to make up for your time?
Oh, yeah.
We played with them many times.
Yep.
Well, see, there you go. At least you benefited.
Well, we're going to miss
get the benefits.
We're going to miss them, but I think we'll keep him and get rid of her. So,
hey, I'm up for keeping around CAC. So, John had mentioned John mentioned soulmates a little bit, and that leads me down a slightly different road of some questions. In an email, Sheila had mentioned a previous poly relationship that you guys had. Is that something that we can talk about?
Sure.
So why don't you just kind of walk us through that history a little bit?
It was a couple I mentioned earlier that were not married. They were just dating. And they had broken up, and she was, I don't know how to put it. Sheila and I were both very attracted to her. And
so she was smoking hot.
She was smoking hot.
she was smoking hot. But it was a confusing time in our life in the lifestyle.
Because it was early on.
It was early on. Essentially, he went on his own way, and we kept her. As a footnote to this, that was the most expensive 7 months of my life, because she ended up being very high maintenance, and I paid for everything. trying to be the gentleman. But the triangle that we formed was pretty amazing, because we all three of us fell in love with each other.
Mm-hmm. Now, did she live with you two, or did she live separately?
It got to the point where it was kind of part-time living with us and then back to her apartment, but we had a little bigger place that she could kind of spread out in and make her own and have her own privacy. But
so did you go on like twosome dates, or was it typically all three of you all together?
One times where that was the first time I kind of spread my wings a little bit. And I let Sheila have some alone time with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I was still dealing with some stuff. I think I dealt with it okay.
You felt left out.
But I felt left out because of that three-way relationship we'd formed.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, a three-way relationship would be tough. JB and I have a hard time fathoming how that would just, from a time management standpoint, just being able to manage all those relationships, because it goes from just being a single relationship to three separate relationships, and then all of you together. So I think three or four relationships, and from a time management standpoint, that's a lot to juggle.
It was a lot to juggle in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of, as I kind of mentioned before, financially, emotionally. It was, it's not something I'm going to soon forget. Let me put it that way. We grew up a lot in our own relationship as a result.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like this sort of happened organically. Was there ever a conversation about, okay, we want to bring her into our marriage and essentially make her our girlfriend? I mean, did you ever actually have that conversation?
I don't think we ever had that conversation. It really was just
it just happened.
Yep, it was very.
We have had that conversation since.
And we would actually consider taking on a girlfriend. We would consider a relationship with another woman. I'm not interested in a relationship with another man, just because you guys are so high maintenance. So
hey, no, yeah, and that was going to be my next question: is whether that was just an experiment and you decided to not do that. But it sounds like you're open to it. If it happens, are you actively looking for a poly relationship, or if it happens, it happens?
We're not actively looking for it. If it happened, it happened. But from the last experience, we've learned that it has to be a truly a three-way relationship where everybody shares equally in all aspects of it, financially, emotionally. It can't be just a one-sided type thing.
Yeah.
So what sorts of rules do you think you would have to set up to ensure that?
Well, it'd have to be, I mean, she was high maintenance. She was dependent. And so she depended on us for a lot of her emotional happiness. And while we were perfectly happy to do that, she didn't give a whole lot of that back. And so that would be probably the biggest thing we'd look for, is someone who's capable of giving as well as giving.
Absolutely.
So is that something that you think about when you go out and meet new couples, or you'll meet single females, is looking for those traits, looking for those sort of characteristics that could develop and lead to a relationship down the line?
I think the way we view couples has matured a little bit, just because of the few couples that we've met that aren't healthy. You know, they're not in a healthy relationship, and it, you know, when you get to know them, it becomes obvious. And I think we recognize that a lot earlier and realize that they aren't the couples that we want to, you know, become friends with and see over and over again. If you know where to find any single females, please let us know, because they're like unicorns around here.
So one thing I actually wanted to go back to was, John had mentioned that it helped enhance the two of you's relationship. After the poly relationship dissolved, that it sounded like that that you guys were able to enhance and strengthen your own relationship based on your experiences with the poly relationship. Could you elaborate on that a little bit, on what you learned about the two of you together and after having gone through that?
It kind of put me back in touch with myself and my own feelings about my wife. The biggest thing for me was I did fall in love with her. And when the relationship broke up, it hurt. I kind of mourned the loss of her. But I thought, after a few days, you know, this is great. I lost one. I still got my soulmate. How good is this? And the whole gamut of feelings and emotions I went through, and Sheila went through the same thing, because she felt the same way about her. We thought, listen, if we're ever going, we didn't talk about it for quite a while afterwards, about maybe getting involved with another woman. Because we had a lot to work out after that whole thing broke up. But it kind of strengthened my own resolve in our relationship. Because she did at one point approach me and say, I'm falling in love with you too. And the general consensus that I got was she'd take either one of us. It didn't matter. And I thought, well, wait a minute. There's something wrong with that, because that's not a true relationship. She's trying to break us up and take one of us with her.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think part of that was because of her dependency on you as a couple, for just, it sounds like, mostly for personal support?
Yeah, I think that's very intuitive, actually. I think that's exactly what it was, is that she, because of her emotional dependence, she needed to be with someone, and it didn't matter which one of us it was. So, but we kind of got lucky, because she was still dating, and what she really wanted in her life was the kind of relationship that he and I had. And she did eventually meet a guy that that I think she fell in love with way too quickly, but they're still together after 4 years, so I guess maybe she found something it after all.
Yeah, maybe something worked out. But maybe I missed this earlier, but where did you meet this individual again? Where you met her? Just where did you meet her at?
They were actually a couple at the time when we met them.
They were our first couple.
Okay, that's right. And JB's just letting me know that I had just missed that like an idiot.
I'm good with my hand sign language over here.
Is that same sign language you use on first dates? You're like, no.
Yeah, that's a look of the eyes, you know. So how do you break up with someone that you've fallen in love with? I mean, especially in a poly situation, because then I imagine you don't want to make it feel like it's two against one, like you're ganging up on her, but you want to get this person out of your life. I mean, how do you go about doing that?
Well, she had actually met the guy that she's still with. And she had actually called me. She'd gone to meet him. She called me and she said, "I think I found the one." And at this point, I was having a hard time with it because of my feelings for her. And I said, "I think you're calling the wrong person and telling them that. I think maybe Sheila might have a better way of dealing with it."
At that point, you're not looking to bring in another man into the relationship. She was
looking for a man for herself.
Okay.
But the whole point, at this point, I'd realized Sheila and I knew we had to break it off. We just didn't know how it was going to happen. Because it was getting way too emotional. She was getting way too needy. And so we actually finally met this guy. And I remember the girls had gone off to the bathroom, and he knew the whole situation between the three of us. So it wasn't a secret. He knew what was going on. And he looked across the table to me and he said, "Is she the Marion type?" And I said, "If I didn't already have Sheila," I said, I would have married her in a heartbeat. I said, "Go for it. She's a fantastic woman. You two are going to have a great life together." And that was my opening. So in a way, I kind of feel bad.
she'd already kind of fallen for him, and she was looking for someone to take care of her and, you know, someone to be with. And he was he knew about our relationship, but he was otherwise a very vanilla guy. And so she rocked his world sexually, and he was financially situated and was able to take care of, you know, those kinds of needs for her and everything. But yeah, I think John and I both knew deep down inside that things were going to have to end, and she actually made it easy for us by moving on. So
yeah, so you guys actually didn't have to have the awkward, "So we're done with you, even though you fuck really good" conversation.
That's probably exactly how it would have gone.
And the worst part about it. But yeah, we talked about it, and we knew at that point we had to figure out how to end this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was hard for us emotionally because we didn't, you know, our heads were telling us one thing and our loins were telling us another, and so it was, you know, it was that battle of we really should, but oh God, she's so good, but we really should. So,
yeah, I think we've all experienced that in some form or another. I think I'm going through that now. So,
I think that's what your last podcast. I think that's what you said.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have this is a random question that I just like to ask different people in the lifestyle. What do you consider to be cheating?
Oh, that's a great one. That's a great one.
Is wide open.
cheating is doing it without telling the other person. that's my definition.
Just sex, or would it be dates, or, you know, what's it?
For us, it's not. I don't think it's technically dates because I've got a very close female friend, and her and I go out. I it's. The definition, I guess, is who knows what it is, but we go out quite a bit. We have dinner.
Yeah, but I always know about it, though.
You always know about it. That's true.
If you were seeing her without me knowing about it, I would consider that cheating.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I see your point there.
I think my definition is just really, that's, if you're doing it and not telling your life partner about it, then that's cheating.
Yeah, if you're not open, if you're not honest about where you're going and what you're doing. Yeah.
Well, I had a kind of a little liaison. I had a gal that was helping me clean my house because we were moving, and we still had a mattress there because we were still kinding there while we moved. And she and I ended up having sex. And I told him about it immediately. I said, you know,
how did you arrange that? Hold back the truck up.
Yeah, she was helping you move.
Moving lady. She just ended up in bed with you.
This was a mover, and you. Those are quite the powers. Just.
she was.
Sheila, you must have like a magic pair of tits and vagina.
Oh, she was a friend that was helping me clean.
You
but...
guys better make sure you're recording because you're gonna get some good shit here.
Yeah, this we want to hear about.
Yeah, no, it was just, well, and she and I, we'd been together before, and we'd been with her and her husband, and, you know, we'd been cleaning all day and stuff, and she kind of put the moves on me, and I just let her roll, so, but I told him about it right away, and I also knew that me playing with another woman would not be a big deal for John, but if that had been a guy, there's no way I would have gone there, because that's a rule breaker that crosses the line.
Do you think it helped that this was somebody who you've already played with?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's someone that he knew. It wasn't just some random, you know, chick that I picked up at a bar or anything like that. So.
And at parties, like I said, we've got a really close group of friends that that we party with. And Sheila and I, when the party gets going, her and I wander off with our respective playmates and
we lose track of each other.
We lose track of each other, but that's, again, it's at parties with a lot of close friends.
Yeah.
So you don't have a same room policy?
No.
We used to, but that went out the window, too.
Yeah, John broke that one as well.
I broke that one.
So was it one, it was broke and then you just decided it was no big deal, or was it a discussion afterwards? Because that's where... We're at the same room. I think we've mentioned that on the podcast. We haven't got to, and we don't even know if we want to be at the point where we're a separate room, but we're not sure yet. And so, yeah, was it just a discussion, or was it, well, that happened and it was okay and just keep and move forward? Or
it was one of those things where I was still very reluctant. I was still the one making all the rules, and Sheila was good to go. It's
hey, at least we were full swap at this point. I was happy.
Well, yeah, we at this point we were, but I still had rules, and Sheila and I, our communication level has
through the roof.
It's just through the roof.
We thought we were good before.
And it was at a little outing we had with there were three other couples there. And it was kind of my coming out party. At the time Sheila turned around, she said, "Where's John?" "Yeah, he's over there." Aunt again. And Sheila was all good with it. I knew she would be because the more comfortable I got in the lifestyle, the better off she was with it.
Yeah, and that was, so it was, I mean, it was his rule. The way I felt, it was his rule, so it was his rule to break. But yeah, it was kind of a naked camping trip thing. And I'd look around and he's gone. I'd look around and he's gone again. And I, you know, kind of add up the rest of the crowd standing around the fire and go, okay, he's with this or he's with that. And, but we, kind of left it alone until the next morning. And I looked at him and I said, "So I guess we're not same room anymore." And he just said, "No, I guess not."
So was that your get out of jail free card? Then, well, if he was gone, you could go away and play with on your own too.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not going to stand around and be left out of this action. So there were some cute guys there.
Yeah, so later on that night, I'm looking around going, "Where's Sheila?" "Oh, she must be in the tent too." So at that point, I'd gotten a hold of my emotions. I'd gotten in control of my jealousies. And I got to be honest at jealousy is a terrible, terrible emotion. It controls you. It eats you alive. It makes you feel evil. And I'm glad it's gone.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, because there's still various things that JB and I are working on ourselves, and there's people out there who will say that, you know, jealousy's a good thing. It's good because you know that you care about your significant other or whatnot. But I think if you can get to the point where jealousy is completely eradicated, then you're in such a much better place if you can just get rid of it.
It does. Which, jealousy causes anger. It causes unwarranted emotions. And I think once I got kind of control of it and realized that I can trust Sheila, it doesn't matter where she's at or what she's doing. She's always going to come back to me.
Yeah.
And I'm always going to come back to her.
And I can take care of myself, too. But, I mean, you know, most... Not all. There's exceptions to every rule, but as you guys, you know, well know, most swing guys are perfect gentlemen because they know that someone is with their wife and they better damn well be a perfect gentleman. So, you know, they kind of put out what they want back from other men. And so, you know, that was kind of one of the other things John had to get over, is that he was always trying to protect me. And I said, you don't need to protect me. I'm fine and this guy's fine. So.
That's a good perspective. I hadn't really thought of that. That guys behave because they don't want other guys to misbehave with their women either. I hadn't thought of that.
But it's true, though. You see it. You see it. It's just mutual respect amongst everyone. And, you know, I'm going to treat, you know, your wife good as, you know, you damn well better treat my wife good. And,
yeah, well, I'll treat your wife the same way I would treat my own.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yep.
So that's why we stay away from the one or two couples that we have met who are, the guy obviously doesn't treat the wife very well, because I'm not going there with him. First of all, that's a total turnoff to me. And second of all, I don't want to be treated the way you treat your wife. So.
And you can see that in a couple early on.
Yep.
So that's a great segue into, we wanted to ask you, so what do you look for specifically in couples you swing with, or profiles that really pique your interest, or just what catches your eye?
I think in particular, if we're looking at profiles... picture profiles, we tend to stay away. Pictures tell 1,000 words. And I'm going to be blunt here. Stay away from a lot of picture profiles where there's nothing but cock shots of the guy.
I never see that. I wish there was more of that. Almost every profile we see is like 50 pictures of the woman and one picture of the guy and his face is blurred out or something,
yeah,
like that.
But
it's rare to see pictures of guys.
You don't want just a cock shot, though.
No, I don't want just a cock shot, but I at least want some more men in the pictures. So maybe we need to join AFF.
I think you do.
AFF, you're gonna get your fill of it there.
I never see a cock shot. Hardly ever.
Yeah, you need to join AFF then. So they have videos and everything.
But we have met some wonderful couples, mm-hmm, on that site. And I'm not putting a plug in for it because I'm not getting anything from them. But in our area, it's a good way to meet couples.
But it's a little pricey. I mean, Swing Lifestyle is, you know, we were lifetime members for like $175 or something. And AFF is, you know, $175 a year. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the difference.
You're there. And there's,
but do you think the quality is...
What's that?
Oh, do you think the quality is better, though?
It's worth the price.
Because I will say SLS could use for a little bit of an upgrade of their website. Their website is not the most up-to-date current. It kind of looks like a late 90s website, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. that's very true. And AFF does update pretty continuously, although, you know, when you get used to, like, you know, how to email, and then they go and change it, and... Fuck, you know, so it can be a little frustrating, yeah, sometimes, but they are, and they have just as many fakes probably as, you know, any other site. But, you know, you guys have been in the lifestyle for a while and you're probably pretty good at sort of vetting that a little bit. And, you know, mm-hmm, when the main profile picture is a cock shot, it's probably some dude that's trying to get his wife into it. So
what else do you sort of look for? Like, would you look at us, and if you were to see like a 25-year-old, you just like skim right, or a 27-year-old, you just skim right past those? Would we be ignored by you?
Not necessarily, but we do have, we do have kind of an age range we try to stay within. We don't necessarily say
late 20s to probably mid 50s.
Yeah. What we look at, especially on AFF, when we look at profiles, we actually read the profile. How is it worded?
Mm-hmm.
How's their grammar?
Does it look like it was written by both the man and the woman, or is it just some guy going, "I like to fuck," you know? So you can kind of
those profiles.
Yeah, you can kind of tell by the language.
We look down and see if they've got any their friends network. If they've got 375 friends, we pretty much shy away from them. We've been in the lifestyle for 6 years, and I think we've got on AFF 22 friends.
Because we let people into our network that we've actually met. We don't just, you know, hey, I'm in Germany, can I be in your friends network kind of thing. We don't kind of do that. So
yeah, it's not a, hey, you're hot, let's fuck and I'll make you my friend.
Yeah.
Do they have any testimonials? How long have they been on the website?
Testimonials on AFF are like certifies on SLS. The certificate.
Okay.
So it's okay. The same thing. So.
And then if we're attracted, if we like what we see, we'll send them an email. And 9 times out of 10, they don't get back with an email. And that's how we know that either they're new, it's just a guy, they're just on there to spice up their sex life, whatever the case might be. And then the one out of 10 that gets back to us, we'll chat with them and take it a little bit further.
Usually after they get back with us, we'll usually start exchanging phone numbers and try to make plans to meet, because we don't send pictures back and forth, and we don't, you know, do that. Let's email for 100 years, because we have better things to do.
We thought dating was hard one-on-one. Now you're trying to date couples. Jeepers, crazy.
Everybody's got a busy schedule these days.
Yep.
So you've got profiles on both AFF and SLS.
Mm-hmm.
Do you favor one over the other, or do you have a preference? Like, we maintain only one profile and find that that's enough work as it is. How do you find the time to keep up both of them, or does one just go to the wayside?
SLS is a lot less active. I update, and I'm primarily the one that gets on there, and I don't get on there very often. And then we both kind of work together to maintain our AFF. We were members briefly for Lifestyle Lounge as well. And we never met any, for as much as everyone talks about how Lifestyle Lounge is the greatest website in the world, we met one couple. And the only reason we met them is because we had mutual friends. And so I just dropped that.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
It is.
Yeah, it just seems like, because we're just like you, we're lifetime members on SLS, and it just seems like a lot of work to maintain multiple profiles. And we've been hearing a lot more about Cassidy, and that we should be getting on Cassidy, as we've been told that. But again, it's always we find it takes enough of our time just to maintain one profile, not trying to maintain multiple profiles and having multiple emails. And it seems like it would be a lot, but
it's easy to maintain, because if we, you know, if we have a picture session, which we try to do every few months, you know, we've got the pictures and we compress them. And so it's basically our basic profile, you know, what we say about ourselves really hasn't changed. So we don't really need to update that. It's really just pictures. And that's, you know, 20 minutes worth of work to get on there and upload a few more pictures and maybe kick out some of the old ones and, you know, and then you're done. So that's, I guess that's why we have both of them still. And John just mentioned the local group, and I think I mentioned to you guys, we have a local group too that we are members of, and they are, they're not public like, you know, SLS. They're very local, and we kind of help run the club, and
we were kind of the co-founders.
Yeah. And what we kind of instituted is, because this is the club that has house parties. So we rent a big old house and you know, invite everybody to the party. And what we do is we do interviews, you know, prior to accepting them as members. Just, we want to make sure that, you know, that they're real, because we don't allow single guys, that they're real, that they're you know, seem to be a relatively stable couple. There doesn't seem to be, you know, any particular drama or anything. And so that's, there's probably maybe 60 couples or so that are members.
Yeah. We've grown quite a bit. It's turned out to be quite a little group.
Yeah. But that's so totally local to us.
I'm intrigued by this house party thing.
Yeah, do you guys run?
Goes down there?
You throw it at your house?
You know, Sheila mentioned we were listening to one of your last podcast on the way home, and our rules are pretty much the same as everybody else's. I think we start last party. We had how many couples were there?
26.
26 couples. And we have new couples at every party, and we start with an orientation. The orientation basically is thank you for coming.
Here's the rules.
Here are the rules.
Yeah.
There's no drama. There's no, you know, the usual thing.
No means no, all that. Yeah.
The biggest part is that we're not here to have an orgy. We're not here. We're here to get together to have fun, to meet new people. No means no.
And in general, it's kind of understood that sex doesn't happen in, you know, the living room or the kitchen or the hot tub. You know, if you want to play, you go up and find an open bedroom or find a group that you want to join, and that's...
We have certain rooms that are meant for play, and the common areas are meant for socializing.
Mm-hmm. So is this your personal house, or I think you had mentioned renting a house?
We've got a couple of rental houses that we choose from.
You know, just, it's like a vacation home that they rent on a, you know, nightly basis or whatever.
So do they have any idea the kind of stuff that's going down in that house?
You would not believe the number of stories we have told. Oh, it's a family reunion. Oh, it's a college reunion. Oh, it's it's a work thing. It's, oh my God, we've made up so many lies I can't keep them all straight.
So are you guys out with anybody, family, friends? Is there anybody that knows about the lifestyle and knows what you're into?
My sister. Who I'm very close to.
Yeah.
And
your daughter figured it out.
That's only because we got busted one night.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let's hear that story.
Yeah.
We were in one of the local bars with a dear couple friend of ours. And I was with the one that was not my wife. And we were kind of canoodling and... up, and there's my youngest daughter at the bar looking at me going, mouthing to me, "What are you doing? Where is Sheila?" I don't know, but I knew what she was saying. And the only thing I could think was, if she knew that Sheila was on the dance floor with her husband, she'd be mortified.
Yeah, with the other gal's husband.
That's almost better than having your daughter think you're cheating, though. I don't know. It's
It is, and she dealt with it okay, but she... left the bar shortly afterwards. So.
Well, yeah, nobody wants to see their dad making out with another woman. So.
Yes. She might be okay with that, but she doesn't want to watch it.
No.
And I guarantee you, she's probably not going back to that bar.
I went up and talked to her before she left, and I said, she said, "Dad, I really don't want to know." And she said, "Why is that man's hands on Sheila's ass?" I said, "You don't want to
No.
Go home and let me know what the therapy bill is going to be."
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it'll intrigue her and send her down the same road eventually.
That's what I'm afraid of. She's her father's daughter.
Both of your daughters are. So I think they're, yeah. I'm not looking forward to the day we, you know, walk into a swing club and look across the room and go, "Oh, my God."
You know, there's something to be said about genetics, because I think we all kind of pick it up from our parents in some way, a little bit. I think if you've got horny, risque parents, you're going to be that way, too.
Unfortunately, mine aren't at all, but
Sheila,
I tease John about his parents. They're pretty styling parents. I think they had a little fun when they were younger, so.
Yeah, JB and I both have pretty conservative parents, so...
I don't know. I think your dad has a side to him.
I don't think so. That's
awesome. I don't think so, but I mean, he might.
Don't get me wrong, I wouldn't play with your dad. But...
Well, I don't think so, though, just because growing up, you know, kids are snoopy, and I never found anything, never found, like, even the littlest toy. I actually remember my parents talking to my grandparents once before they got divorced, and I don't think they knew I was listening or whatever, and they said, you know, we don't, like, I don't remember the context of the conversation, but they never watched porn or anything or had any kind of toys or anything. So and yours are definitely conservative.
Oh, I found sexually. Porn at least in their house. I know that I've found some things. So,
but yeah, hearing about you and your daughter, it makes us just think about the scariness of our kids finding out, or you know that. Maybe it won't be scary. Maybe it'll be, I don't know. That's something that we've talked about on the show is, you know, how to go about how we're going to approach just being sex positive parents in general. And there's individuals who we know who they're, or we've read blogs online where people are out and they're out and open and their kids know about it. And we just don't know what kind of parents we're going to be at the moment. And for you guys didn't get into it until they were older and
yeah, you were kind of at a safer age. So I'm curious about John, your sister. Are you guys are just that close where you tell her everything?
Yeah, we're 2 years apart. She's my baby sister, and I, of course, growing up, was kind of the protector, and I've got two older brothers, and there's 5 years between me and my next brother. So her and I got pretty close growing up, and she's down where my parents are. We were down there for vacation, and it was Sheila and her were talking, and Sheila and her are pretty open too. So she started asking Sheila questions, and the two of them were in the kitchen drinking margaritas. I was just watching TV, and
oh, tequila makes you say shit.
Yes, it does. I gotta keep her away from the tequila. And one thing led to another, and it was actually really Sheila and her that started talking about it. And of course, Sheila's very bisexual. And my sister, from what I've had guys tell me, my sister's pretty hot. She's my sister. I don't see it.
She's pretty hot.
Next thing I know, my sister's kissing my wife.
And I'm going, so now you've been with siblings. Sheila's been with siblings.
I'm going, party's over.
Sheila's getting through the family.
Cal's always dreamed about having sisters. Well, I have.
Yeah, this party's over. We're going back. We're leaving.
Yeah, and then that's unfortunately not a threesome situation for John.
Well, yeah, so how far did that go?
I stopped it right there, Cal. That was it. We're done.
That's not something you're going to want to sit back and watch. Nope. So.
Yeah, you can't really watch.
Yeah, I explained the whole margarita tequila thing was going on.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Sheila, that's when you should have pulled the separate room card.
Oh, hell no.
You just stay here on the couch, baby. I'll be back in an hour.
I'll find me sucking my thumb.
That's very funny.
Well, yeah. So
you had asked about if anybody, you know, that we knew, and is on my side, I have a coworker that knows. And that's just because he caught us in the strip club with another couple one night.
Ah, so he was just at the strip club with his friends or by himself, and then he saw you guys there?
Yep, he was there with his friends, and it's kind of a bigger place, and I didn't look around or anything. We were kind of doing our own thing, and he was sitting over there in the corner and watching us, the four of us, canoodle together and just kind of put two and two together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did he ever approach you or say anything about it?
He made some comments and quite a bit of innuendo, and I finally said, you know what, dude, what, you know, where's all this coming from? And he said, I was in the strip club here a few weeks ago, and I kind of let the wheels turn for a minute and went, oh, shit.
Sounds like the guy was a little bit of a douche.
So, yeah. So I said, and he said, well, it looks to me like you were having a lot of fun. And I just said, yep, we were. And that was the end of that.
Oh, no, that's just awkward.
He asked me about my weekends every once in a while. He's actually a pretty, he's a pretty mellow dude. He doesn't really, he's not one of the gossipers of the place. So it's, I'm fine with it. And to be perfectly honest, I mean, I work in a manufacturing environment. It's not a professional environment or anything like that. So, if people know about it, people know about it. It's, outside of there that I would be, concerned, mm-hmm. especially with family.
Hey, you might even gain more respect in the factory.
No, it was the religious types that hate me and the men that just want to fuck me because, they think swinging means easy. So.
So all this kind of relates back to the fact that you've mentioned that you live in a small town, kind of in a state that doesn't necessarily have a lot of people in it. So how do you deal with that?
Well, as far as, discretion, John's over here mouthing discretion. As far as playing, we figure that, anybody we meet, here for the same thing. If they're online looking on, AFF or SLS, then they're looking for the same thing we are. So, if you out us, you out yourself. Mm-hmm. And as far as playing, although being in a big city, you probably drive just as much. But as far as, playing, we sometimes drive. Well, we sent you the email. We drove an hour and our friends drove an hour to meet in the middle somewhere. And you just know that you're going to travel quite a bit. So,
you purposely try to leave town now that you've been caught in town a couple of times.
We don't purposely try to leave town just because we're not terribly concerned about it.
We have been caught in town a couple of times.
Yeah, but there just aren't that many, there's, each town has got two or three couples that we enjoy, so it's, if we want to kind of play a lot with different people, then it's just a matter of they travel to us or we go to them.
Yeah, your guys' stories were incredibly hot. Incredibly hot. The car just getting out and swapping in the car, so fucking hot.
and throwing down, yeah.
We were driving home this afternoon listening to the podcast, and you guys started reading letters, and I looked at Sheila and I said, that's us.
did you know, John, that she wrote in, that no, she wrote the story in?
I didn't.
You didn't know exactly what I had written in. I told you I wrote to him, but I didn't tell you exactly.
I didn't know. And the one at the bar, oh my God.
They, it's very, very hot. Because, the swinging in public isn't something that we've done yet, like we said on the show. And after hearing your guys' stories, I think it's something we definitely got to do. I don't know.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
So you guys are the inspiration because we need to have a story that hot because we just have the hotel parties, the house parties. We don't have a out in public story, and we got to do that for sure.
So what do you think is the craziest thing you've done?
Oh God.
Well,
there's been numerous times on. Oh, there was the boat.
Oh yeah.
There was. This really, I guess, to date, probably doesn't sound crazy, but we were with a couple on our boat. We pulled into a little favorite bay that we like, and the clothes came off, and all hell broke loose. Well,
it's a 21-foot boat, so just for
it's not a big cabin cruiser or anything. It's
big enough for four people to spread out.
Yeah, so she's. This gal is bent over. This is the one that ended up being our girlfriend, but this mm-hmm. is why we were still together. Bent over the side of the boat, her and I are going at it, and this other boat pulls out, and I'm going, oh my God. And of course, the back of our boat's named, I mean, it's not a big lake. It's only probably 20 miles long and 8 or 10 miles wide. Everybody knows everybody up here. And while her and I are going at it, she stands up, waves, and says, hello. No.
Yep, we're fucking.
Yeah, pretty much. There's pretty much no doubt about what's going on. Well, this couple pulls over to the other side of the bay.
They're middle-aged.
Middle-aged couple, and they got their black lab with them. And the next thing you know, they're in the water with them, with each other, canoodling. And
kissing and feeling each other up.
We all four of us look over the side of our boat and go, we started something.
Look what we did.
You did that. Yep. They saw you and are like, oh, we got to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't crazy or wild, but I thought it was pretty neat.
Well, it's hot to be someone else's inspiration. I think that's kind of why I enjoy exhibitionism.
So would you guys say that you like to perform more than you like to watch, or what do you think?
Ooh, I think that's probably equal.
Yeah.
I think we're both voyeurs and exhibitionists. Yeah.
So Sheila, do you prefer men or women, since you say that you're very bi?
Oh, I prefer men. I love women and I love being with women, but you know, ultimately at the end of the night I like a nice hard cock to finish things off, so
there is always a strap on.
Yes, and we've done that before too, but the live version's better.
So kind of along the same sort of things, what fantasy in the lifestyle are you looking to still fulfill?
Yeah, is there anything you haven't done that you are looking to do?
Oh, man.
Oh, mine's easy. I already have mine. I would love to pick up a willing vanilla cup. Like, just take them back to the hotel room or whatever.
That is hot. That's also one of our fantasies as well.
Yeah, I feel like it's almost like another version of a unicorn, is the vanilla couple that is easy to pick up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The problem with that is we've been with new couples that think they want to be in the lifestyle. And to pick up a vanilla couple that hasn't even thought about it goes back to our little trip down to Florida and the couple that tried to pick us up.
Ooh, that'd be another fantasy. If they're still out there somewhere. Please try again.
Yeah, I mean, we were with a couple at a party who thought they wanted to be in a lifestyle. It was the very first time doing anything, had never talked about their rules. And for us, that was hot because we were, like, taking their swinger virginity.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, that was it. Like, they canceled their profile, like, soon thereafter. We were like, man, we were that good or that bad.
Yeah, that is an aspect.
And that was, like, the third time that happened to us.
That is an aspect that I'm not sure that I think does happen to us because we're younger. We get, you know, we will talk to and chat with couples around our age, as well as older, but around our age, and I feel like...
But be honest, you prefer the 40-year-old women anyway, so...
I do love... I mentioned it on the show.
I'm not even in my prime yet for
him. I love an older woman.
Sheila would rock your world,
dude. Oh, yeah. I'd love it. So, but that's the thing. I feel like younger couples, which I guess this probably feeds into your... the stigma, the view that you have on younger couples. I feel like... I will agree that younger couples are flightier, that we meet a decent amount of couples that are around our age who haven't been in the lifestyle or at all, and then they haven't talked about their rules, they're just much flightier, they don't know exactly what they want. And so that's why I'm happy that JB and I have made it work and that it works for us, and we've just encountered younger couples where it is an issue, and they, so actually.
Well, what ends up happening is we have phenomenal playtime. We end up playing with fake boobs and great looking bodies, but there's no longevity. You know, like we have a play session, we have a great time with them. We think, oh, we can make some good friends here. We'll have a good set of sex partners, and then they're gone. They disappear.
Yeah, it just wasn't. It's
like, poof.
I just can only, they just, it wasn't for them, and then they're out, and they had, you know, we were part of their experimentation. And so I can imagine that you play with a lot of couples or older couples who, that's probably not as much of an issue, that they're not as flighty as I would say a younger couple is more likely to be, or that we've, in our experience that we've found.
You know, we've had our fair share of flighty couples, even in their even in their late 30s and early 40s. But it comes down, it really comes down to communication. The quality of communication and the quantity of communication that a couple has. You can't close up after a hookup. Whatever it might be, even if it's soft swap, if you, whatever it is, you have to talk about your feelings. You have to talk about your emotions. You have to get it out there. That's the most important part of it.
Mm-hmm. I think it's more rare with people that are older. Just once again, because they are more, you know, established. I mean, we have a couple friends that have been married, you know, second or third marriages. They're married 3 or 4 years, but they're just more aware, self-aware. And so they're not just, you know, hey, this seems like fun to go, you know, fuck a bunch of people. It's they're more self-aware and they're more aware of, you know, the ramifications to their relationship if they do go there.
Yeah, I think we've been with those, hey, let's go fuck a bunch of people couples. I think we've definitely been there. And it's fun. They just don't last.
Right. But at the same time, we met a younger couple, younger than us by many years. And we met them about a month with them here soon, and they're a wonderful couple. They're, you know, we've been chatting back and forth on texting back and forth and that kind of thing, and they're very mature and very self-aware and very aware of their relationship. And I think they're going to be a great, you know, they've never played before, and I think they're going to be a really great addition to the lifestyle because they're just, you know, really connected with each other.
So I kind of wanted to go back and talk about these parties that you guys throw. So is it you mentioned that they're closed, so you don't do any advertising and trying to build it up, or you mentioned that you do the interviews, but so it seems like it's a very close-knit group of individuals that you have for these house parties.
It is, and it's kind of grown by essentially word of mouth.
Well, they do have a website.
Yeah.
And so if you do like a Google search for, you know, Montana swinger, whatever, you're going to find them probably. But, and they do advertise on a couple of the sites out there. So, you know, that's kind of how we get new people, but it is a lot of word of mouth. It's a lot of, we'll meet someone and say, hey, you know what? You guys would be really awesome, you know, in this group. And it kind of goes from there usually.
And yeah, we do the personal interviews. We meet them over drinks, dinner, whatever, just to make sure they're a real viable couple.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a single guy or, you know, a couple that aren't stable.
So you have you had to turn any couples away?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yep. And I guess probably the best way to do that is to just kind of say, well, we're not really sure this group is a good fit for you guys and what you want. It's not easy, mm-hmm. but that's kind of the softest way to...
Again, it comes down to honesty.
To do it, yeah.
And it's not over... For us, it's not over materialistic things. It's over...
It's
emotional types. It's over
personality types.
Personality types. A couple that we can sit there for 2 hours and realize that they're not established with each other.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to fit into the group.
Or it's clear that one of them wants it and the other one doesn't. You know, that kind of thing.
Trying to avoid the drama.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're not. You know, we're not based on. We've heard of clubs that are. They want a picture of you before they accept you, that kind of thing. We're not that, you know, we're very laid back. We're not really hung up on, you know, body types and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really just, are you going to be a good fit? You know, we've met some people that are just way too aggressive, and we don't want anybody at our parties to be, you know, terrified for their safety. We tell them right up front, you don't have to play if you don't want to. This is your space to be comfortable and learn more about the lifestyle, or, you know, be in the lifestyle in whatever way you want to be. And the last thing we want is someone running around making everybody uncomfortable. So
I definitely agree that you don't want to have somebody aggressive, especially at a house party where it's a smaller environment. It's more intimate, where it's not a club, where a club's bigger. You could get away from somebody. A house party is going to be, it's going to stand out even more when there's a problem individual.
Yeah. That'd be a quick buzzkill.
Yeah.
And it really kind of goes back to the couple that we met early on that we realized were predators. And Sheila and I, as we've grown in a lifestyle and gotten more entwined in it, have found that we're actually the couple that Sheila mentioned earlier that mentored us. It's difficult to find really good couples in lifestyle, quality friendships. So Sheila and I have taken, we've found ourselves mentoring new couples ourselves. Because mm-hmm. we want good quality couples. We want good people in lifestyle because it's really a good place to be.
Mm-hmm. Do you end up fucking your mentees?
On occasion, yes. We have to do that, didn't you?
Of course. Are you kidding?
I would think that would be assumed.
Well, you never know. I mean, I guess you pass down the ancient art.
We've been called.
I have like Star Trek in my head right now, or Star Wars in my head. So I'm just imagining Yoda.
Oh,
I think a couple months ago we were called cherry popping bastards.
That's funny.
In a good way, but
that's like perfect too, because I believe they. They play swing music, Cherry Pop and Daddies. They are a swing band, so that's pretty fitting.
So what do you guys like better? Are you house party or club? It sounds like house party, but maybe not.
We like the house parties. We went to a club down in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
And
Early on.
And I can't even tell that story.
Now you have to tell it.
It's like you get a girl wet and then walk away.
Oh, there's nothing. This isn't going to make you wet, sweetheart. This is just bad.
We went in there, like, it was early on, so we were around. It was at the tail end of a vacation, so it was like a Thursday night, so it wasn't like a really popular night anyway, so.
Were you vacationing for specifically to swing, or
no,
you have vacation and that was something fun to do?
I was down there for business, and then Sheila flew down. I flew her down. We went, took a cruise, saw my folks, and then we ended the vacation by going to this club.
So it was.
So there's either a dog scratching in the background, or John's already jacking off.
Stop him! That's a dog scratching in the background.
That's our boxer back there getting things on.
Well, our dogs always make an appearance on the podcast, so it's good that somebody else's barks. Does too.
So we went into this place, and you know, they kind of showed us around, and we got ourselves a drink, and we were just kind of sitting around, and this fella in his 60s came up to us and said, hey, if you here, I've had some medical problems, and so I had an erection. If you guys play, would you mind if I watched you? And
I can't imagine why you said that, because Sheila was dressed to the nines.
And he just randomly walked up to you.
Yeah.
I walked into the place with a heart on. Jesus. She was looking fantastic.
Sweetie. So we kind of hung around for a while. There was a pool table. We shot a game of pool, and there weren't a whole lot of people in there. And John just kind of said, you know what? Fuck it. Let's go. And so, you know, of course, a single guy, he's got to be, you know, escorted back to the playrooms and everything. And so John and I got busy, and we let this guy watch us. And like I said, we were still very new, and John was really easily distracted still. And so at one point I looked over, and this guy's got his shirt unbuttoned and his jeans down.
He's standing in the doorway.
In the doorway. And he's got this medical problems, my ass. He's got this big old erection. he's uncircumcised, and it's got a pretty good hood on it. So I look over and I'm watching him jerk himself off, and all I can picture in my mind is this eye opening and closing. Is he?
Oh, that is funny.
Even more, I didn't know this was going on at this point.
So I kind of flipped this around in a position to where John couldn't see, because I knew everything was going to be over if he
saw that. I eventually looked around and saw this winking thing.
So that was our only club experience. We would love to go to another one, but there just aren't any around here.
So were you able to finish at least, or did he distract you too much?
They came through with another tour because we were back in the private room. So the club manager came through with another couple that they were showing giving a tour to the place. And at this point, by this time, this guy's buck naked.
I don't know how he did that, but
and I turn around and look, and now he crossed the threshold of the doorway. And
which was the rule.
Yeah, he's still
outside of the room.
He's still winking. And I finally got up off the bed, and I, with my fingertips, pushed him on his chest out the door, and I said, "You're on your own," and I slammed the door.
Well, so you left him like in the hallway?
Yeah. I looked down and I realized.
Make your jacket hand.
I looked down and I realized half his clothes are still in the room.
Well, Sheila, you must have been looking smoking hot because it sounds like you caused a medical miracle there.
Apparently, I should have been a doctor.
High highs, 5-inch heels, short skirt. I mean, oh my God. I digress. But I opened the door back up, threw the rest of his clothes out, slammed the door, and yeah, Sheila and I finished. And we walked back out to the front. And the guy's standing out there, and he walks up to me. He extends his shaking hand, which was also his shaking hand. He says, I want to thank you. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to shake that.
Yeah, I'll take a pass on shaking that hand. Yep. You were just jerking with.
So that was our only swing club type experience.
Had we been more experienced, I think we would have had a better time, but we didn't know what to expect, and we weren't terribly experienced ourselves at the time, so it gave us a funny story.
Oh, yeah, that's a great story. Yeah, I guess we're a little spoiled or lucky, because there's definitely hotel parties around our area that we're lucky enough to have around, but unfortunately, our favorite one just said that they were having their last party coming up soon, so Yeah, but
there's plenty of alternatives.
This one just in particular has what I'll go to record in saying is probably the hottest group of people there. So a little bit of a bummer, but that's okay though.
Oh, and one swing door is closed, some other swing door opens.
Exactly. So. Another one opens.
Someone else will start a club.
Yep. Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah,
definitely.
Oh, I don't know about that.
We'll yeah.
I want to fuck, but I don't want all that work. So I guess I want to be fucked.
Hosting is a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
It would be cool, but that's the impression that knowing a couple, like having had some long conversations with the individuals who run some of the clubs around and the bigger house party that we mentioned that we're going to be going to tomorrow, that it does seem like quite a bit of work, and that it's almost you sacrifice fun for just providing a venue for other people to have fun.
Yeah, I mean, I know whenever we host just family over for Christmas and I'm, you know, playing hostess, it's hard to enjoy yourself. So I can't imagine hosting a sex party and actually getting any kind of sexual pleasure out of it.
Do you guys find that
your guests?
Do you guys find that at your parties you're able to have fun as well and not just worry about hosting?
For us, when the parties we've hosted at the big house parties, our concern is making sure that everybody's having a good time, and at every one of our hosted parties, there's been new couples, so we want to make sure that they're comfortable. So
you fuck the newbies?
Nope.
Sometimes.
Not at the parties.
Why, you didn't be comfortable, so.
Think about the last party. That's all we fucked.
No. Wait a minute. Hosting, back on track. Hosting, yeah, it's a lot of work, and experienced couples that are there and new couples that are there. For Sheila and I, when we host a party, we just want to make sure everybody's having a good time. And that everybody's comfortable. So, for the most part, there's not a lot of play for Sheila and I when we host.
Well, when we do the big parties with, you know, 20, 25 couples, it's a multiple couple kind of event. So there's, you know, six or eight of us that kind of do it together. You know, some people take care of this aspect and some people take care of that. And then throughout the evening, we touch bases with each other as far as, you know, those guys over there don't look like they're having a good time, or those guys over there look freaked out. And so we, you know, we kind of all work together, a lot of us that are experienced and have been to a lot of these parties. So it, you know, it's not like two people keeping track of, you know, 50. It's, mm-hmm. you know, there's eight of us moving around and keeping track. But the people who we kind of started this with really took a lot of burden on themselves to, you know, sort of hold court, you know, in the kitchen and the living room, make sure everything was okay. And we finally kind of convinced them that, you know what, that's, once people are in the door after an hour or two, if they're freaked out, they've probably already left. If they're probably having a good time. So you guys should have a good time too. So I think we finally have them convinced to have fun. And in fact, they did at the last one. So, but we host smaller parties at our house, just four or five couples. And those are always people that, for the most part, we've partied together lots before. And so, you know,
every once in a while, bring a new couple in to a four or five couple.
Yeah, they're not new to us, but they're new to the group, and we'll bring them in. But we bring them in because we know they'll have a good time. You know, we know that they're going to fit into the group, and that's basically just a sex fest. There's not really any thing going on. So.
Sounds like quite the good time.
Oh yeah, that sounds like it sounds hot. Yeah, we've only hosted couples one on one here at our house. We haven't actually expanded out. Although we've talked about having a group of people over, and we just haven't actually done that yet. So that's one thing that that's hot for us. But we've talked about trying to keep it smaller, like you just said, maybe the five to ten couples. We don't want to. I don't think at our house we would want to host anything really large.
I don't think I'd even want 10 couples. That's 20 people. That's a lot of people.
It is a lot. I think the five couples, just like you guys said, you know, five couples seems like a pretty good size to keep it small enough where everybody can have a good time.
And those are kind of what we call our intimate parties.
Yeah.
That's a nice way of putting it. That's one of those things, too, that, you know, that would work pretty well for you guys is, like, you know, four or five couples, because you guys, you know, are still same room play and may always mm-hmm. will be. You know, we started out that way and we kind of expanded from there. But, you know, if you've got like four couples, then you can, you know, you've got, you know, two couples in each bedroom kind of thing. And that way you can kind of stick with that rule and stay together. If you end up with, you know, 10 couples, later you guys are going to split up somehow, some way. Someone's going to grab one of you and you know. So it's a lot easier to kind of maintain a handle on that aspect of your lifestyle play if you have a smaller group.
That's a great point. We hadn't actually even thought about that, but yeah, that's a great point.
Mm-hmm. It definitely is.
Well, thank you very much for coming on the show, and it's been great talking to you. It's been kind of a blind podcast date. You know, it's been it's been very cool, and it's fun for us because. It's fun for us just to interact with listeners on more of a level, and we like getting the emails, but this has been really cool. It's been very great to talk to you too.
Yeah, it was awesome. We both had a lot of fun.
We enjoyed it.
Yeah. So thanks for inviting us, and please do feel free to invite us again, and we'll keep the stories coming.
So that wraps up our interview with John and Sheila. So we'd really like to thank them for coming on. It was great. It was a fantastic interview, very fun, and our first Skype interview. So it was cool and a learning experience to do that, to talk with some people across the United States. It was really cool.
Yeah, we had a great time. And if anyone is interested in contacting John and Sheila, if you've got any questions, you can go ahead and email us at swingingaround@gmail.com, and we'll be sure to forward it on.
Mm-hmm. So, JB, why don't you take us home.
Okay, so as always, we'd love to get your comments and your feedback, so email us at swingingaround@gmail.com, no G at the end of swinging. You can find us on Facebook at Swinging Around. Also, please go on to iTunes and Stitcher and give us some ratings, give us some feedback, so we've got, can increase our listener base, and we've got some feedback from you. And finally, you can follow us on Twitter at Swinging Around, no G at the end of swinging.
All right, everybody. Stay sexy and stay swinging.